sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
I am your king now!
The money count is the only moment of silence. Because hush money balances all this drug and violence. Hat trick under my mattress. Date, I stop still, has an asterisk after it.
Bonfire.
After all, I can make a call. I can baptize a brick. As I wash away my sins like a Catholic. Who the fuck ain't mastered this? America's nightmares in Flint. Ready now? Ready? Children of a lesser God, when your melanin got a tint.
Bonfire.
This deserves a quote. All right, welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. B. Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Dang! Before I start the show, I want to remind you returning listeners and inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 4th, 2023 at goddamn 8:08 p.m. It's kind of late. Yeah, it is late. Yeah, it's late. I'll explain why I'm recording late, but that's a different story. I mean, later than usual. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah, all right. I just realized that my little intro helps me set the stage. It puts me in podcast mode. I had like a busy day, man. I had I just had a lot of things I did and I had to do. And now I completely forgot. The only reason I remember that I had a busy day is the fact that I'm recording so effing late. But that's a different story. You didn't come to this podcast for that. All right. Let's go with intro news. If you go, let's just go with an intro thought. So set the stage, right? Before we get into the second act and second and third act of this podcast. So step one. First, I want to send a shout out to What's the Tea podcast, right? I don't know. I was inspired by the so What's the Tea? Oh, right. The reason is because they were talking about how there was a decade-long episode. And, two things. A decade-long, they've been recording for 10 years. That episode 422. And one of the hosts on the podcast, she was talking about how she said something. Like, I grow from sometimes little small bits from other people's podcasts, or I learn or I gain from little tidbit. people shout their podcast. And one of their hosts, Nick Jew, was talking about how her podcast is her safe space. And in those 400, that decade long journey in podcasting, she talks about how she wishes she could have, advertised the podcast more, but she don't want her coworkers hearing about it or checking out her podcast. And yo, I'm in the same exact boat. The person you hear on this microphone is a lot different than the person you'll meet in real life. I won't say a lot different. That's a lie. Not a lot different. Okay. But I don't have the handicap of needing to please another human being while I'm speaking like this. Not that I'm a hypocrite or anything like that. I'm just saying I tend to speak more freely. Without interruptions. I let my thoughts flow. I don't know why I'm doing that. I need to get my teeth checked, man. There's something about my lips and my teeth and certain letters causes me to whistle. Great. And I'm getting old. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, all right. This is me. Like, as real. This is my attempt. It's kind of scary. In a way, you know, it kind of sounds scary. It's like I'm talking to my imaginary friend. yeah, it does feel like it. But it's just, sometimes I just need to get some of these thoughts that are cluttering my mind and just put it out there. With that said, I just want to wish them a happy anniversary, 10 years anniversary. And at the same time, I just realized that the anniversary for this podcast, and by this podcast, I mean the second era, the New Testament era of this podcast, is our anniversary is on May 23rd, 2020. Like, we started out, I started out May 23rd. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, is this supposed to be? I forgot to do the quick research. The episode that I put out on May 23rd, 2023, that was, hold on, let me go through the catalog. May 29th. Oh, wow. So, Knife and Fork. Okay. So, either I am Malcolm X. Yeah. I forgot. Episode 80 and 81. Around there. So episode 80 came out on May 23rd, or May 22nd, and episode 81, May 25th. So I owe myself a birthday cake, I guess. Anyways, all right, keep going. What other dates to remember? June 4th. Today's June 4th. Did I mention that? Yeah, I did. All right. So June 4th, 1996, the world was blessed with the release of Nas' It Was Written album. I remember when that album came out, and I was friends with this dude from Queens, and he was a huge Nas stan. Like, I didn't realize I was gonna be as big as a stan as he was now, but I remember him and I, we bonded over Nas's first album, and then when It Was Written came out, fuck, just that look on his face, it's like Jesus came back. I'm trying to reminisce on how I felt when I first heard the release of It Was Written. And shout out to Jerry Parson, 21225 on Twitter. He's the one who reminded me. I was like, as I was getting ready for today's episode, I'm like, because I have to go through my tweets, and this popped up, and his caption goes, Nas released his classic single If I Ruled the World, Imagine That, on June 4th, 1996. The long featured Lauryn Hill and was released as a lead single for Nas' second album, It Was Written. It was certified platinum and nominated for a Grammy Award. Man, fuck the Grammys for Best Rap Performance. Hold on a second. Let me make sure I got my dates right. Oh man, hold on a second. See, that's why you can't trust white people, people on the internet. Hold on a second. It Was Written. Am I celebrating the wrong thing? It Was Written was, oh man. Okay, it's a good thing I checked the dates. Okay, it's a good thing I read the caption. Okay, all aboard. Okay, so the It Was Written album came out on July 2nd, 1996. What he's saying is, If I Rule the World came out on June 4th. Yeah, and If I Rule the World was it's one of my least favorite Nas songs. I'm not saying it's a bad song, but I'm just saying it's not a song I would have bothered investing my intro to this podcast speaking about. So, all right, so I'm going to skip that, and my bad. I wish I had, like, staff that I can blame for this fuck-up. Anyways, here we are. Okay, what else do I have? Now, this date I know I got right. Okay, so June 2nd, 2002, the world was blessed with the release of The Wire. Now, I'm going to make a small confession before you hear it from someone else from The Wire. I didn't really get into the first, second, and third season. I'm not sure. There was, because I didn't have HBO, and I was getting bits and pieces here or there. But what I'm saying is the episodes I was able to catch from the first season didn't hook me. And I get it. But what did get my attention is I watched season four. I started with season four, and then I was hooked on episode one of season four. And what I did is between episode one of season four, between that and the second episode, I binged season one, two, and three. And just to get some context for season four, and it was a great journey. And since then, I've been like an addict, addicted to music, or addicted to The Wire. Maybe it's a habit. I gotta use it. All right, okay. Yeah, so shout out to everyone involved in creating The Wire. And happy anniversary. All right? Okay. What else do I have on my list of anniversaries? Okay, hold on a second. Let me move this out the way. Let me move this. Okay, all right. As I go through my notes. All right, okay. Promise myself to say I should have did this on last episode. Wait, let me make sure I got this right. Last episode was published on May 31st. Oh, no, I'm not wrong. Okay, right. So, happy Pride Month. All right, I'm making it official. Happy Pride Month to anyone who listens to this podcast, who is associated to this podcast and whatnot. I'm trying to think of something deep to say, but I'm just going to leave it as Happy Pride Month. And, I've been hearing on other podcasts, it's like, yo, man, fuck making the theme, this year's theme on love, inclusion, and all that bullshit. It's like, no, how about we remind the world that, hey, trans people are getting killed out there. I mean, how about we start giving a fuck? How about we start, you know, making it less about corporations throwing, how about we make it less about showing off your rainbow flag, and how about, you know, fucking up the people or fucking other people. You know what I mean? Okay, no, I'm not inviting violence, but I'm just saying, yeah, awareness. Let's bring awareness to that, to violence against the trans community or LGBTQ plus siblings, or how some of them go through life feeling like, yo, I don't deserve to exist. How about we make that the theme? How about we focus on that? So I'm just saying, yeah, happy Pride Month. And I heard Trudeau say something like, it's like you're loved, you're appreciated. Yeah, you deserve to be part of the human family. All right. Okay. Leave it at that. Oh, and one last, in relation to Pride Month, I'm going to read a tweet that, someone addressed to all cisgender heterosexuals. It goes, this is from Adrian C. Jackson. It goes, dear cisgender heterosexual people, this month ain't about us. Preach. No, we're not being erased. Well said. Nor are we being oppressed. There isn't a straight Pride Month for the same reason there isn't a White History Month or a Men's History Month. Signed, a cisgender heterosexual male. Happy Pride Month. Right? Okay, you know what? Hold on a second. I wish I had shared the retweet. There we go. Right. With that sentiment. Okay. You know, I had a joke. Okay, hold on a second. Yeah, fuck the joke. I'll keep that for news and news and damn, I'm going over. Be Black, it's your podcast. Do as you wish. Okay. Yeah, so last item that I have for intro or dates or things to remember is Latasha Harlings. Remember that name. If you're a fan of Pac, you especially if you heard his second album, Latasha Harlings is a name worth repeating. And I'll just read up this is the tweet that I got it from. It goes, 1991, 15 years old, think about that. Latasha Harlings was gunned down in L.A. by an Asian store owner over orange juice. 31 years later, 14-year-old Cyrus Belton gunned down in Columbia, South Carolina by another store owner. Okay, they mentioned Asian store owner over a bottle of water. Okay, wait. Why you write it like that? Nothing has changed. We still allow groups of people to come into our bed. Okay. I think this might be a little bit anti-Asian post. It might be less about remembering. Oh, my God, man. Again, I got to do some fact checking on my own self. Just a sec. Let me read this. The products treat us bad and spit money with the... it's happening in the black community. Okay, you know what? No. Okay, this one. Foreign groups capitalizing on the black community's lack of businesses. Okay, I see. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay, you know what? I am not going to link this tweet, but what I will do is, like in the show notes, I will not link this tweet, but what I will do is link the story of Latasha Harlings. And what I'm going to link the Wikipedia entry for the killing of Latasha Harlings. Like, yes, no, I do know the person who killed her was a Korean woman, Soon Jun Do. And I do know there was I don't want to speak about shit that I don't understand, that I don't know about. So I'm treading lightly with that one. But yes, remember that name, Latasha Harlings. Because a bottle of juice is not something to die for. Anyway, right. Okay, so let me just update my show notes. Even though, bear with me. I wish I had like a technical difficulty song playing, but there we go. All right, okay. All right, okay. Yeah, all right, that's it. That's it. That's all the dates. Did I forget anything else? No. I made myself a smoothie right now, not too long ago. With spinach. It's a big deal. I didn't know you could liquefy spinach. I signed up for some CSA, what's it called? I don't know, man. One of my homegirls hooked me up with, or put me on Peep Game to get me some fresh vegetables and shit like that. So what does CSA stand for? Something about farm. Doesn't matter, whatever, man. All I know is I have a shitload of spinach in my fucking fridge, and I was wondering, because I don't eat spinach just like that, but I looked up a recipe for a smoothie, and shit's delicious. So I will start eating healthy and all that shit. But yeah, there we go. All right, okay. So, you know, happy first day I make a smoothie. Oh, wait, that's a lie. No, that's the second smoothie I made. The point is, I made use of spinach. That's really what the whole point to this segment is. All right, okay. Damn, man. Can I waste time or what? All right, okay, let's get into... news and random thoughts, okay? All right, news and random thoughts it is. So, and here we go. Wow, that sounded nice. Okay, all right. You know, I just wrote this. I said text-driven episode idea. I was looking at there was a clip that, my point is, I think what I'm gonna start doing is, usually when I prepare for these shows, I think about what I wanna say and put it on paper. And what I think I should do is I should let my pen control this. What I'm getting at is as I type up ideas on a piece of paper, and then I think what's going to do is what's on paper, what you hear on the podcast is controlled by what I've written down in the show notes. So that you'll read the show notes, you'll see what I put in there, the links. You'll have no context for it, but the only way you'll get some context for it is by listening to the show. Because in a way, I know it's not making sense to you, but I'm just saying, because sometimes I just want to share links with you folks and not comment about it. All right? So let you click on it, have fun, and whatever. But anyways, All this to say that I've come up with a different, a new approach for this podcast. So enjoy. All right. So I'm going to just play this. Why? Because it made me laugh, right? Speaking of links that I'm just going to just play it because it just made me laugh. And I hope it makes you laugh too. And it'll be in the show notes. Here we go. Oh, man. Hold on a second. Let me hit refresh. And then...
But are you straight? Yes, I'm straight, honey. Straight. Straight. Hetero. No offense, but are you straight? Yes, I'm straight, honey. Straight. Straight. Hetero.
All right. Okay, content creators were just reading a caption that says, no offense, but are you straight? And that was their response. All right. Okay. I laughed. Okay. All right. Next item. Oh, you know what? This is the part of the podcast that I just want to piss off white folks. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It goes up. Hold on. You know what? Fuck it. All right. I'm going to let my AI bot do the reading. But the title goes, Little Mermaid splashes to 164 billion global bow. But there's something fishy overseas as Disney's pick besets by review bombing. What? Hold on a second. What does that say? Okay. I'll tell you what. I just wanted to read an article about the success Little Mermaid been making, but so what does this have to say? So here we go. Please don't let me regret not proofreading before the show.
The Little Mermaid splashes to $164 million global bow, but there's something fishy overseas as Disney pick beset by review bombing. Disney's live-action take on The Little Mermaid is doing swimmingly at the domestic box office, with a three-day opening of $95.5 million and a four-day projection of $117.5 million.
Wow.
Factoring in the international box office bow of $68.3 million, that makes for an estimated $163.8 million global debut through Sunday. The offshore launch is lower than hoped for coming into the frame. But it bears noting there was something fishy going on in overseas markets with so-called review bombing in such areas as France, Korea, Germany, and beyond. While the Rob Marshall-directed update has a 95% verified audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, film ratings websites overseas, including IMDb in the UK, Brazil, and Mexico, as well as Allociné in France. Posted advisories during the rollout when negative user reviews appeared in questionable abundance. Related, as we noted in our global preview, The Little Mermaid was expected to be more of a domestic play at the outset. Mm-hmm. However, it's fairly astonishing to see these overseas reactions largely believed to be led by internet trolls. In France, where Little Mermaid launched on Wednesday, Allociné wrote, "We are currently observing an unusual distribution of scores which demands the need for caution. We encourage you to make up your own mind about the film. While not unprecedented, this is a rare move." To be fair, critics at some respected outlets, including Liberation, Premiere, and Les Inrecuptibles, did not like the movie, giving it just one star. On IMDb, a warning reads, "Our rating mechanism has detected unusual voting activity on this title." To preserve the reliability of our rating system, an alternate weighting calculation has been applied. That note appears on the US and Canadian sites as well as those for the UK, Brazil, and Mexico. IMDb says it publishes weighted vote averages rather than raw data averages. Although we accept and consider all votes received by users, not all votes have the same impact or weight on the final rating. When unusual voting activity is detected, an alternate weighting calculation may be applied in order to preserve the reliability of our system, the website explains. However, it does not disclose the exact method used to generate the rating.
Right.
In Germany, Movie Pilot showed a rating of 7 out of 10 before the Little Mermaid release, far lower than any comp title. Traction increased throughout the weekend, moving to a 5 rating. Some gripes have been about murky lighting or even just the why of it all when remaking a classic. In some pockets of the world, there has sadly been racially tinged commentary. Korea's SBS News reported heading into the weekend that the film had been subject to ratings terrorism in an article whose title Korean entertainment website ZAPZ translated to backlash against. Black Mermaid, appearance ridiculed, ratings drop on day one. On the ratings portal of Korea's Naver over the past several days, there had been a trend of negative reviews receiving hundreds of likes and positive reviews getting hundreds of thumbs down. On the day of release, the score was 1.96, which has since evolved to 6.67. Many ultimately have praised Halle Bailey's performance. And, in China, it's just a disaster. There is no audience score on Maoyan, unusual for a film already in release for several days. The box office through Sunday is a dismal 17.7 million renminbi, $2.5 million, with Maoyan projecting a full run of about $4 million. Here are the top five markets on the movie at open: Mexico, $8.5 million, UK, $6.3 million, Italy, $4.7 million, Brazil, $4 million, and Australia, $4 million. The international IMAX take was $1.5 million for $8.5 million global.
Damn. 278 comments. Yeah, I'm not reading those comments. Not what I'm recording, that's for sure. Okay. Oh man, this shit is old. Okay. So real quick, this article was printed on May 28, 2023. But I want to say that according to Wikipedia, or June 4th, as of today, the box office numbers for Little Mermaid is 326.7 million dollars, all right? Black people came out. Folks came out to watch the movie, man. I'm not just saying, whatever, man. So shout out to them. But yeah, man, fuck, man. Holy fuck, the hate. You know what? This ties into the theme of today's episode, man. Fucking curse, man. Children of a lesser god, man. This world is fucking with us. And, anyways, I'll save that for final thoughts of today's episode, all right? Of the episode. All right, so let's go. What else? Code switching. What do I know about code switching? Okay, no, actually, this is just a tweet. Sometimes I just put things on the rundown show because I'll force myself to read it as opposed to whatever. Okay, so someone I follow on Twitter, his name is Kenny Akers. And he posts a lot of conscious stuff. And he wrote something about code switching. Oh, right. Okay. Because I was going through some personal thoughts about code switching. So I'm going to read the caption. And my AI bot's going to read the caption. And then I will get back to you with my own thoughts on the subject. All right. So let's go. Skynet. People are listening. Come on, Skynet. Let's go.
Code switching.
What about it? How embarrassing. It's good to have a patient audience. Here we go. Asterix after it. Hold on a second. Let's see what's going on. Why are you fucking with me while I'm on air? Come on.
Code switching.
Here. Oh, okay. I see what's going on. Okay, that little dash is causing the AI to freak the fuck out. So, here we go. Hold on a second. This is embarrassing. I feel like I'm on a date and I was all macking the Mac and I offered to pay and my credit card is declining. Here we go.
Is a survival skill many black individuals have adopted in their quest for success and upward mobility. It is a phenomenon widely discussed in society, particularly in the black community. It refers to changing one's communication style, tone, and mannerisms to fit into different social settings or environments.
Right.
This is mainly because mainstream society often stigmatizes certain communication styles, dialects, or accents, resulting in negative biases that can limit social and economic mobility opportunities.
And I could have read it myself. Okay, it goes, join the Academy of Anti-Racism Social Change. What? Oh, okay. I don't know what that's about. Okay, whatever. He's promoting something else, right? But anyway, all right. So the only reason this is a big deal for me is because I've been thinking a lot about code switching. And when I went into therapy, I made sure to find a black therapist. And I remember telling her, it's like, being black is difficult for me. The everyday, the regularness of being black is just, I don't think I can do it. I can't do the work twice as hard. I can't stomach all this violence. I can't pretend like, but I remember code switching was a thing for me. Like it was even code switching. Like I'm tired of going to work and pretending like I'm not, like I didn't hear about the Zimmerman trial or giving a fuck about what my coworkers give a fuck about while I got my own problems to deal with, all that shit. But, okay, what I'm getting at is there's no fucking solution. She can offer any solutions to coach. It's like, yo, it's like, it was pretty much take this Band-Aid and come on, tough up. I mean, it was the everyday. I think what I'm saying is code switch, I'm feeling that pain that I felt before therapy and it relates to code switching and I'm fantasizing about a job where I don't have to code switch because lately I've been feeling like there's code switching because it's like he says, it's protection, right? It's for your own. But I also feel like a hypocrite. Like I'm, Omar Epps in Too Deep. Like I'm undercover right now. I'm like, hey buddy, like where can I find some drugs? You know what I mean? I feel like, what's that dude? Johnny Depp in, Donnie Brasco. Is that Brasco? No, Donnie Brasco. Yes. I feel like a fucking fed. And, cause the thing is for me is I'm an empath. I'm a highly sensitive person. So I will listen, I will empathize with a person while he tells me about, yeah, man, last time when I was burning a cross, I nearly burnt myself. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, nigga? And, you know, it's shit like that. It just, it's, there's code switching. And then I'm like, where's the line between code switching and just being fucking fake? Like, I'm always worried. It's only a matter of time before I'm exposed for who I really am. That's what's making me nervous. That's the thing. But anyway, that's a longer discussion. I'm going to save that for therapy. And but sometimes, it's a conversation I would love to have with other black folks. How do you do it? How do you cope, man? How do you do it? Code switching, I guess code switching used to be felt easy. It was, I didn't think about it. Now it's like, fuck it with me. I can still do it, but after the end of the day, I'm like, fuck, should have told that dude to go fuck himself. You know what I mean? I should. Anyway, yeah. Code switching is a challenge for me. I'll leave it at that. I'm going to conclude it with that. All right, next item. All right, okay. I labeled this one dealing with racism like a man. All right? And pen versus sword. And I say this because I grew up with the notion that white person comes up to you with some racism and you fuck them up. What's the name of that writer again? Hold on a second. Very Smart Brothers. That guy. Yes. I'm trying to remember the name of the creator of, cause he's got a book. He had a book. And I am so an unprofessional podcast. Okay, hold on. I can't chew gum and okay. Very Smart Brothers. Who is the creator of that podcast? That website. Come on, make it easy for me, man. Work with me. It's funny. I remember his work. I can't remember the brother's name. There we go. Damon Young. Oh, my God. All right. So Damon Young, he's got a book. I'm not going to look up the name of the books. I can't remember, right? He's got a book. And the first chapter, he talks about, I forget the name. It goes basically his nigga fight story or something like that there. You know what? Nah, I got to look up his book. Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you blacker, right? One of the chapter he talks about how, oh my God, this is a long ass intro. I just remember why I'm talking about this. He's got a chapter where he talks about basically a situation where they fucked up a white person for using the N-word, right? And yeah, that's all I've known in response to like that's how black man responds to racism, and it's been fucking with me the fact that I'm not the violent type, that I don't have a nigga fight story like he did, like he would expose. All this to say, now there's a situation. I'm gonna play this clip of what's his name? Doesn't show. Okay, someone at, I guess a scholar, black scholar at the University of Massachusetts, and some white person asks him some stupid question about basically some shit, some racist shit, man. And the way he articulates and responds to this answer, I feel like I have a new mentor, man. I want to learn from this person. It's an example of how the pen is mightier than the sword, all right? And when I say the pen, I mean the ability to using your words, the ability to use your word instead of violence. Because that's the kind of question I would have been like, yo, mute the mic because I'm going to strangle this motherfucker with the spike cord. But instead, this brother responds this way. So here we go. I'm going to play it now. Hold on. Is it muted? None muted? Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi. Thanks for coming today. Are there any trends within the black community, such as higher crime rates or higher illegitimacy rates, that could explain their position vis-a-vis whites? And can those be explained by some dominant social group?
No.
No to the first one or the
no
second
to
one?
No to both.
So there's no.
I mean, it's there's a propagandistic mechanism that's afloat about, you know, black illegitimacy and black criminality.
Message.
I guess it depends on what kind of crime you have in mind. If we think about which community in the United States has the highest degree of history of violence, that's unquestionably white Americans.
Message.
Unquestionably. I mean, I'm not sure if you're aware of the 100 massacres that were conducted between the end of the Civil War and World War II that were directed against black communities throughout the United States, in which thousands of blacks were killed and the white terrorists appropriated black-owned property. So there's no segment of the population that has a greater history of violence than white Americans. So when you talk about these kinds of matters to me, you're actually mouthing a set of propagandistic claims that are made on the right in the United States, and they do not have a foundation in fact.
All right, so.
Sorry.
Sit the fuck down.
With the last three questions.
Yeah. I would have just said,
I ain't no devil. This is not the words of Jesus Christ.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.
That's what it is. Homies, yeah, man, white folks kill me with this whole, like, we have the moral authority to judge you people. Like, related to the title, again, I'm saving all my thoughts for what's up with the title for the final thoughts. But I have to bring up, I was just thinking about that same verse that I just read, came from a song, a collaboration between Pusha T and Jay-Z, from the song Drug Dealer Anonymous. And Jay-Z's plays a clip from what's that white chick's name, from one of some Fox blonde chick from Fox News, one of the blonde chick who says ignorant shit, you figure it out anyways, and he plays a clip where she says, you know, your husband, she's talking to Beyonce, she goes, your husband used to sell drugs in the Aggie, and Jay-Z's verse pretty much responds with, bitch, according to your system, I'm innocent. I played the game the same way your ancestors, your people, your rich folk, the people you look up to, played this fucking game. And I love the line. He goes, who deserves the Medal of Freedom is my accountant. And yeah, man, I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm thinking about how respectability, how I grew up, how I wasted a significant portion of my life trying to convince white people that, hey, I am one of the good ones. And it just hit me, man. Ain't shit you can do about it, man. Yeah, white people are going to think whatever they want to think about you. In this case, what this white person was asking is, hey, are you niggas going to do something about the fact that your women are raising kids without fathers and the violence and, Chicago, are you niggas making any initiative in that? And I just loved his response, man. Because for me, it would have been like, yeah, I'm used to being the sound guy. I would have just been like, mute the mic and then made him swallow that cordless. You know what I mean? And the thing is, I'm not a violent type. I'm not the violent type, I swear. It's just the way I speak. I get all emotional, and the only way I can accurately respond to it is by saying some violent shit. So here we are. All right, anyways, man. I guess I should find out the name of the person speaking. You know what? Yeah, fuck it. If you don't, you know. All right? Okay. All right. What else do I have? Because running late here. Right in behind. Okay. Okay. So I wrote, I was thinking about hip-hop this week. Okay. So this clip, I'm just going to play it because it just reminded me of a thought that I had this week about hip-hop. And here we go.
Rap is dead. It's 2023. There's no audience out there looking for real. This is craftsmanship, an avalanche of magicness placed upon the pen and page, a pad of composition. Tell my competition, ambulances must assist them. I'm on a tandem, foot on the pedal, palms on the handle. These niggas can't. What's up? It's Soul Child, and I just hate when people say rap.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, I was having a thought about hip hop recently, and I am not joining the, today's rap music sucks. No, I'm not getting into that. The one thing I have noticed about hip, I'll tell you what, this thought came to me when I remembered that Rick Ross was exposed by 50 Cent for being a CEO and no one gave a fuck. I'm thinking about, does Drake brag about being, no, he doesn't say he's from the hood, right? I don't know, I can't remember. But if there's a rap song about Drake being from the hood, it's bullshit, man. I do grew up with rich kids. And what I'm getting at is it had me thinking about how I still remember the early days of hip-hop. Okay, I guess this might be an old man rant about hip-hop, I guess. But hear me out, all right? Shout out to Soul Child for that clip because it just reminded me of this thought. What do you think? Is rap actually dead? What bothers me about the current state of hip-hop, not state or the current, I feel like it's more about marketing. Okay, I'm starting to feel like the kid who just realized there's no Santa Claus, right? But I feel like it's more about marketing than it is about the poetry. And what I'm getting at is, like, I think of Rick Ross, right? I won't deny Rick Ross makes great music. No denial. His rhymes might be simple, you know, but it's still like music worthy. It's like, yo, man, I don't want to lessen in the socioeconomic state of, like Rick Ross's music that I listen to when I don't want to think. KRS-One, on the other hand, you know, like I want to bob my head too, but KRS-One says shit or Pusha T, like they say rhymes that I need to flip or look up on Rap Genius, right? But yeah, Rick Ross, for example, makes great music. But then you add the extra layer of basically his whole rhymes is I'm a successful drug dealer. I'm a successful rich drug dealer. I get bitches, I get blah blah blah, like all that shit, you know what I mean? I'm like the ultimate height of masculine. Like it's the same fucking theme. It's if my podcast was a Rick Ross song. I don't know, man. It'd be like no content. It'd be me bragging about how I'm a successful drug dealer. And hold on. Police are tapping my telephone. Okay, business. When we're on the phone, what's that line? Business stops to speak. Whatever, right? I can't grow from this. The realization is maybe that's why I don't like some of current hip hop, not just because of the music, right? But the what doesn't work on me anymore is the marketing. I'll tell you what, okay, I remember if there was an interruption in thought, is I'm like, wait a minute, maybe there's always been marketing. Nah, at the beginning, it was all about the art. Because I remember when record execs weren't giving a fuck about the, like, hip-hop wasn't mainstream. I remember those days when hip-hop wasn't mainstream. I remember when I was being persecuted because I grew up with white people, right? And, surrounded by white people who were like, oh, man, I mean, what the fuck? It sucks, man. Rap sucks. And whatever. Like, it sounded too much like it was another way of saying, I hate you niggas. What am I getting at? Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm saying now it's more evident. The power of marketing is like strong. Like, I hate seeing commercial ads. What's that? Placement, when you place product placement in videos, but that's how it is, right? Oh, right. I was thinking about how I was with a friend and we were, I was with a friend and we were going for this record set. We were in a record store. What's a record? Ask your parents. A friend of mine were in a record store and he was a fan of the Grateful Dead. And he just showed me their album cover. Fuck. Bunch of hippies, man. Fucking shorts. No Dame brand. Not trying to dress well. And the guitar. And I'm looking at this plain ass cover. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like I was disappointed. It's like, where's the gimmick? I mean, it's so plain. I mean, it's like you show up to church dressed like that, you know? And where are the girls? Where's the fucking cars? And the dude laughed. He goes, and he just said, like, when you don't need marketing to sell your shit, you know? But I say all this shit, but I recently heard, what's that latest song by, do I still have it in my feed? I was listening, there's a new song that's out with Cardi B, and I think the other artist is a basketball player, and it's not just the track that I like, but it's it's the song and the video. I do remember watching it, and the video had me going, yeah, you want to be us, you want to hang out with us, you want to, like, watching that video just sent me back to when I was a teenager. So I guess what I'm saying is, I might be contradicting myself. On one end, I'm telling you I hate the marketing aspect of hip-hop, but on the other end, I still remember watching it and that feeling of, yo, you want to be down with us. You want to be down with this. You want to buy this image that I'm selling you. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's just the one thought. Oh, right. So shout out to, I'm going to check out her music. Soulchild. Let me look her up. Here it goes. Soulchild. And not going to say, but yeah, I guess I'm, because I'm 48, man. I can't listen to more anymore hip-hop about fucking girls and selling drugs. And not that, you know, shout out to Benny the Butcher, you know, keep doing what you're doing. But I'm saying, I kind of need music that I can fucking connect to, man, that relates to my reality. Like, I'm going to die. I got a mediocre podcast. You know what I mean? I just need, like, like, right now my dream is to turn this podcast into a regular 9-to-5. Like, how about something to inspire me with that shit? Where are you, Lauryn Hill? Yeah, where are you? Anyway, whatever, man. You know, I'm just, music that I can connect to. Is there a hip-hop section for grown folks, people my age? Because I would love to hear it. And with that said, shout out to Soulchild. I will have the information to her contact information on the website. Well, a link to her contact information. All right? Okay. So last item on the, oh my God, yes. Last item on the, rundown sheet. I'm currently binging a podcast called Flipping the Bird, Elon Musk versus Twitter. Shout out to three guys on. They were having a discussion about podcasts, and I think it was Rod and what's that dude's name again? Andy. All right, yeah. And they both talked about how they checked out this podcast called Flipping the Bird, and Flipping the Bird, and it's a podcast. It's a, I love those kind of podcast. Well, well researched documentary type shit. And it talks about how, well, basically the journey of Elon Musk and Twitter, and how. Now, if you listen to this podcast, I always end about a, you know, when I talk about my, how you can find me on Twitter, I always say until Elon Musk fucks it up. What I appreciate about this podcast is one, it shows me how, one, There's the information people on the outside have, and the people information on the inside have. And the people on the outside rarely have the accurate information. And with that said is, I was blaming all of Elon Musk for the downhill of Twitter, where the truth is the fucking execs, the shareholders, the board, they all had, like, listen, it was a reminder that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Twitter was a fucking business. There was no loyalty to us, the users. The loyalties were to the shareholders and the board. So when Elon Musk bought Twitter, why? Because he could, right? And they sold it because they needed to. They were running out of money. Yo, this dude showed up with money that they couldn't have, apparently they couldn't dream of getting, right? No. This doesn't end with me defending Elon Musk. It just shows me that when he made that transaction, sure, it was wild. It might have been fucked up. But in a way, he knew what he was doing. Sure, he gambled, and he's losing. It seems like it. So where was I going with this story? Yeah, I am at, I think I just finished episode 4. And there's a part where they talk about how he did the layoffs at Twitter, man. What a fucking asshole, man. You know what Elon Musk is? Elon Musk is that asshole who shows up to your work, who's the new hire at your job, and everything goes downhill after then. Like, or the new manager, the new, like, it used to be a fun environment. You used to look, you know, sure, you didn't like Mondays, but the people you work with just made it tolerable. And then you got this new manager who shows up talking about, all right, I'm implementing TPS reports. Yeah, that dude, I don't know if he gets off of being an asshole, but he's an asshole, man. He's not someone I would want to work with. When I was talking about having a job where I wouldn't have to code switch, basically having a job where people like him aren't. Like, I would love to go to an interview. My next interview might be like that. A, I'm going to ask about the culture, the environment. I need to fill out, is this a toxic environment? Because I've been in a toxic environment before, toxic work environment, and I'm not doing that shit ever again. And yeah, ask the kind of question. It's like, so what do you think of Elon Musk? Oh my God, he's a genius. Peace. I'm out. Fuck you and your company. yeah, man. It's that dude is like modern day, not just bully, but modern day. Oh my God. There's a meme out there, right? And it's called meme. I think it's called Bad Boss. Yeah. Oh, okay. He's worse than that guy on what's that show called? That movie called Office Space. Oh. I guess they got rid of it. Bad Employer, Bad Boss, Bad Employer. Oh, they did make a movie called Bad Boss. Yeah. It sounds like. Anyways, it's just the horror stories that I've been hearing about people enjoying working at Twitter. But okay, on one end, oh, there he is. I found the meme that I was looking for. Hard work has never killed anyone. Who supervises it? Bad boss memes. Okay. Yeah, they were just talking about how this one black girl was talking about how she loved before Elon Musk. It was a great job. She didn't have to code switch. That was amazing for me to hear. And then Elon Musk shows up and old school style of doing things. And I don't know, man. I guess what kills me about this is he can do the, yo, he's got the money. He's got the, you know, he's got the, he's an asshole, but what's stopping him? Until he feels, what's the word? Repercussion for his actions, he's going to continue being this guy. Like, in his mind, he's convinced that I'm just a genius. The only people who complain about me are lazy motherfuckers who live with their parents. Like, he can keep that illusion to himself and not change any of his habits and continue. Look, all I'm saying is we need an alternative to Twitter. I feel bad for the current employees that are there, or the ones that are suffering there, or the ones who've, you know, oh man, okay. Going through this documentary also makes me mad at fucking Dave Chappelle for bringing that asshole on stage. But whatever, man. Maybe when I get rich, maybe if I was rich, I'd be an asshole too. But who knows? Whatever. All right. Okay. That's it for what's the segment called? News and Random Thoughts. So we're going to jump to final thoughts. But before I do that, I'm going to play this again.
Fence, but are you straight? Yes, I'm straight, honey. Straight. Straight. Hetero. 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 No offense, but...
Ça m'a fait rigoler. All right, Kay, let's do this. Final thoughts, and we get the fuck out of here. Okay, did I mention I just had a smoothie? And so I have my microphone in front of me, and I'm holding it. And every time I talk, I can feel like precipitation on my hands. Like, I'm wondering, is that how I speak to people? Do I spit on people when I talk to them? It's kind of scaring me, man. Anyway, that's kind of fucked up. Kind of scared. I'm kind of scared that that's how, if this only happens after I drink water or, yeah, whatever. I'm a disgusting human being, but here we are. All right, okay. Oh, right. On the last episode, I may have told you, I talked to you about how I'm going for the book, The Highly Sensitive Man by Tom Falkenstein, and I'm at the chapter called Your Relationship with Yourself. And reading that chapter, I'm still not done with it because this motherfucker's got us doing exercises, and you know how I feel about exercises because I'm fat. Anyway, there's while reading this chapter, it had me thinking about how I just wrote this math equation, podcast equals me, and how I deal with myself the exact same way I deal with my podcast. I'm looking for an audience. At some point, I'm trying to grow this audience, but I'm kind of timid about the way I go about it. That's how I go about myself. Let me put it this way. It's kind of like, it's the reason why I never got on dating profiles, because I'm timid about it. The relationship I have with my podcast is the exact relationship I have with myself. I don't have the, when I was looking for relationships, I was looking for someone who was going to like me more than I actually like myself. And I'm realizing that I do this with this podcast. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I like this podcast. I'd probably like it better if someone else was doing it. You know, just say this shit, all right? For someone else's voice. But I guess all this to say, this is a journey. This whole podcast, it may, is a whole journey into self-acceptance and self-love. So today I'm talking shit about myself and possibly every once in a while about my podcast. But at some point, like, I don't want to be in a situation where people are telling me, oh, it's good. No, I'm the one who needs to see it for himself. Because or else it's pointless. Yeah, pointless, man. Or else, pointless. All right, that's my journey. Okay, next item. What's up with the title? All right. So, like I mentioned earlier on, the verse that I just read and the title "Children of a Lesser God" is in relation to is part of a verse that Pusha T said and spit out in the track. Hold on a second. What's going on? Hold on. Weren't you letting me log in? Oh my God, scared me. In the track Drug Dealer Anonymous. Now, Pusha T, when he says it, he's talking about America's in Flint. I'll just read it. Goes, children. All right. I should also mention that Children of a Lesser God is also a reference to a, apparently there's a movie out there called Children of a Lesser God. And the Wikipedia entry goes, Children of a Lesser God is a 1986 American romantic drama film directed by Randa Haynes. Excuse me. From a screenplay written by Hesper Anderson and Mark Madoff, based on Madoff's 1979 play of the same name. Okay, doesn't matter. This doesn't fucking matter. First time I heard that word, that sentence, those group of words, Children of a Lesser God, when Pusha T said it, I thought of it in his way of the whole line goes, Children of a Lesser God, when your skin has a tint. Oh, man. Well, the actual, yeah. Children of a Lesser God, when your melanin's got a tint. And this all goes, just ties into how the theme of feeling cursed, all right? Last conversation, I had a conversation with my therapist, and she asked me to research, think about, reflect on why do you feel like you're cursed? And I made a list. Well, actually, I was convinced that I was going to make a long list, and I realized that I can't. No, it's that this is going to be a short. I thought it was going to be a long list, and I had a real, while working on this list, I had two realizations. Okay, I wrote three things, right? One, I feel cursed because I'm black. Growing up as a black person, I've always felt cursed. And it didn't help that there's a part in the Bible that talks about how black people are a product of a curse. And then one person saying, no, it's not true. But, you know, but when you have adults telling you that shit, it's like, hey, you're a product of a curse. It sits with you, right? And also, it didn't help that I grew up in a house where we had a picture of white Jesus on our wall. And for me, it fucked with me because it had me thinking about that something must be wrong with us, because if God is that shade, then what the fuck does that mean to us? What does that mean? What does that say about us? And like, I still remember the first time hearing about the first human being came from Africa. It took me a while to believe it. I'm like, but no, because you, Adam and Eve, they were white, weren't they? I remember that, like, that mental, that transition. I still remember the first time finding out that that picture of white Jesus that my mom, my parents had on their kitchen wall was drawn by Michelangelo or whatever, Picasso, whatever the fuck, some white dude, right? And it was some of their relatives. And it blew my mind. I'm like, the idea that, wait a minute, so what you're saying is Jesus is not white? And it's not the fact that he wasn't white that fucked me up. It's the reason why they painted him. There was a necessity to paint him as white. Like, that was, today I'm an ex-Christian. That was my journey into becoming, like, all of a sudden, the faith I had in this God, in this Jesus, and all that shit, was on a downhill. And it doesn't matter how much you try to argue, how much you try to debate, educate me. No, it doesn't matter. What's that Kirk Franklin song? It doesn't matter. If the skin was white, as long as the blood was red, man, fuck you, man. That shit doesn't fuck. It doesn't. It's kind of like, nah, just pretend, just ignore the whole racism shit. I can't do it. I can't like that. The racism aspect of Christianity is fucking it up for me, man. And it also adds to the layer of the moment I realized and learned the reason I realized Jesus wasn't white. The moment I realized and learned why these Europeans made him white, why these Europeans needed us to believe in a white savior, was the moment I started the my faith in Christianity went down, but my belief in the idea of being a child of a lesser God grew up. Look, there, if there is a God out there, he can't do shit about racism. He's out there going, man, how about a football team? How about I help you out with that, right? It's like poverty. I can't do shit about that. Are you crazy? World hunger. It's like, Senegal? Whatever. Pick your country that's going through some bullshit. All he can do is just idly stand by. It's like, oh, man, I can't do shit. Yeah, I'm getting back to the topic. Yes, feeling like a child of a lesser God and being cursed by the real God, by the God who can kick his ass. The other reason I feel cursed is the fact that how I have this fucking habit of this. I call it a curse of feeling bad for my enemies. How I have this habit of, I can feel bad for people who wouldn't do the same for me. I can, maybe it makes me empathetic, maybe and all that shit, but I hate that part. I think it's a curse that I can want vengeance on someone, and once I get that vengeance, I'll feel bad for that person. Like, it's just, yeah, hold on. Okay, you know what? I just thought of another item why I feel cursed. These visions I have in my mind. I have these visions of these illusions of grandeur. And put it this way, right? When I play the lottery ticket, I put a lot of thoughts in these numbers. And when I don't win, I always feel like it's like, that's why I don't play the lottery anymore, right? Because I feel like I'm entitled to fucking, I should have won. I feel like the numbers that I just put were symbolic, came from the, okay, I don't do that anymore. But back in the days, I used to think that, yes, number three, Jesus, like if I put all these symbolic, it's like I don't know how statistic works. Visions of the future. I'm cursed by these visions of myself, of being a successful human being, but fuck, I can't get my, I have the vision of it, right? Let me put it this way. I have a vision of a successful podcast. I just can't get myself to believe in it. That shit's a fucking curse, all right? Last but not least, the last item I put, right, on there is, I don't know why I feel cursed. No, it was, I don't know why I feel cursed. I just know. Oh, okay, no, someone, same idea. But it's more like, I can't tell you, I couldn't, initially when she gave me this exercise, I was convinced I was going to have a long closing argument to give her. But then now that I started typing, I'm like, shit, I don't have a long list. The only thing I know is, okay, this is what I'm getting at. This is what I'm saying is, I can't tell you. I can't articulate. I don't have reasons to explain why I'm cursed. I just know I feel cursed. And then it hit me. It reminded me of, okay, a long time ago, I'm reminding myself this is my podcast because I'm going over time. I'm going to do something a little unconventional that I don't usually do. All right, so, yeah, I'm not going to read this whole shit. I am not going to read this. Okay. A while back, man, I read this book called, and I'm not sure if I'd recommend it, but I don't regret reading it. It's called The Greatest Salesman of the World, right? And it's supposed to be an inspirational book. And in that book, there's 10 scrolls to read, right? Ancient scrolls. And it's meant to focus, I like to compare it to some affirmations. And it reminded me of this one section that I read. And it went, I'd read it, but I'm worried about fucking it. Okay. I read a great little. Okay. One of the scrolls that got my attention is, not I will persist until I succeed. It was titled, not Nature's Greatest Miracle. It was titled, not Live This Day As Though This Is My Last. It was titled, Today I Will Be the Master of My Emotions. And it reminded me of, you can't trust your emotions I'm going to say something weird. To tell you how to feel. To what? At a moment where I realized that, yes, during my Christian days, growing up, during my church days, I remember singing songs about being blessed and reminding myself that I was blessed, blessed and highly favored, and all that shit. And then since my journey as an ex-Christian, I realized that I haven't found a way, or I don't have a means currently at the moment to keep the faith. It's like I don't have, okay, yeah, I don't have the reason to keep it. Let me speak out, right? I'm trying to explain this, but I keep having images of someone interrupting me. So let me try to speak my mind here. I keep having, I don't have a way, yeah, a reason to keep the faith, to believe that I'm blessed. Now, some of you will say, just come back to Jesus. Yeah, did you not hear the part about the racism? Yeah, just start believing in a black God. Yeah, did you not listen? Just start believing in a God who gives a fuck about you, even though of the slave ship, and even though he can't do shit about racism. I can't do any of that shit, man. I just, it's what, I remember meeting this atheist. We had the debate about, not a debate, but I remember, it was interesting. He was a self-proclaimed atheist. It's wild that I'm following in his footsteps, right? But self-proclaimed atheist is, he couldn't get himself, he didn't believe in God. It was clear, didn't believe in God. But what he did believe in a way, like he was cursed, like bad luck, like shit just went bad, his just went, he couldn't care, like me. He had a lot to be grateful for. But he believed in the idea that the closest I was able to get him to believe in a God, right, and, or understand the concept of God, and was, okay, he goes, if there is a God, then he's fucking with me. It's like the only way he was able to get himself to believe in the supernatural is if the supernatural was the reason for all his bad luck. And I'm realizing that I'm falling into that, that I'm getting into that. Now, I want to be, I'm not sharing solution. Again, I'm thinking out loud. I am not making any points. I am, this is me preaching what I practice. I'm figuring this shit out. Look, I know there's a lot of people out there who can relate to the idea of feeling cursed. I get it. And I'm not going to tell you any bullshit about, yo, you need to stop believing that shit. No, I'm just saying, I get it. I don't know how to get myself out of this rut at the moment. And not believe in some fairy goal and some fairy godmother that wants me to believe that things will get better. Sorry, the reason I paused because I was thinking about how I used to believe in the concept of heaven and hell and found myself wondering, wait, is my only reason to be a good person is just because I just don't want to go to hell? See what I'm saying? Nah, I'm a good person because it's in my nature. Sorry, I aspire to be a good person. I try to be a good person. I try to be a better person because it's just in my nature. It's in my DNA. It's my MO. Now, I feel like fast forward, now I'm at an advanced level, and it's like I'm saying, so are you saying because you don't have a God, you're using that as your excuse? Oh, man. Oh, my God. There's a beef going on between in my mind right now. You're using this as an excuse to not believe you're blessed. Anyway, I'm going to read a few paragraphs from this today, and I'll probably read the rest off this podcast because it's kind of long, right? And he goes, today I will be master of my emotions. And here's what he said. It's like an affirmation. Maybe I need to recite this shit again, man. This whole feeling cursed shit. Because it's real. It's fucking real. It feels real. Okay, hold on, right? And he goes, today I will be master of my emotions. The tide advance. Oh, should I mention that the author of this, the book, Greatest Salesman of the World, is called Ugg Bendino. May he rest in peace. I don't know if he was racist. I don't know. I didn't know about that. But I don't know what kind of human being he was. I just know he wrote some shit. I like his work. That's all. I'm going to leave it at that. All right. So today I will be master of my emotions. The tide advances. The tide recedes. Winter goes. The summer comes. Summer wanes and the cold increases. The sun rises, the sun sets. The moon is full, the moon is black. The bird arise, the bird depart. Flowers bloom, flowers fade. Seeds are sown, harvests are reaped. All nature is a circle of moons, and I am a part of nature, and so, like the tides, my mood will rise, my moods will fall. That is so true. All right. Today I will be master of my emotions. It is one of nature's tricks, little understood, that each day I awaken with moods that have changed from yesterday. Yesterday's joy will become today's sadness, yet today's sadness will grow into tomorrow's joy. Inside me is a wheel constantly turning from sadness to joy, from exaltation to depression, from happiness to melancholy. Like the flowers, today's full bloom of joy will fade and winter into despondency. Yet I will remember that as today's dead flowers carries the seed of tomorrow's bloom, so too does today's sadness carry the seed of tomorrow's joy. Today I will be master of my emotion. I used to read this shit, by the way, this book, they try to get you to read it for 30 days. That was the exercise. Every scroll, you read it for 30 days, morning and in the afternoon. I think they even said at lunch, but I was able to do it for most of the days, but not at lunch, But I would read it in the morning and I would read it before going to bed. And I'm just going for memory lane here. Okay, I guess my problem is, okay, I'll read that one last paragraph before we leave. Okay, 15, because I'm going over time here. And how will I master these emotions so that each day will be productive? For unless my mood is right, the day will be a failure. Trees and plants depend on the weather to flourish, but I make my own weather. Yeah, I transport it with me. If I bring rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism to my customers, then they will react with rain, gloom, and darkness and pessimism, and they will purchase not. If I bring joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter to my customers, they will react with joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter, and my weather will be the produced harvest of sales and granary of gold for me. Oh, by the way, I should mention that these affirmations are meant to make you into the greatest salesman in the world. Or that's what the greatest salesman in the world ended up reading to become the greatest salesman in the world. So I'm not reading this to turn you into the greatest salesman in the world. It's just to, you know what? I'm going to read the rest. Fuck it, man. All right. Before I'm going to end this episode, I'm going to read the rest. All right. Why? Because it's my podcast. All right. Thank you for listening. All right. So go for me. Today I will be master of my emotions. And how will I master my emotions so that every day is a happy day and a productive one? I will learn the secret of the ages. This is the powerful line. This is the line that got me. It goes, weak is he who permits his thoughts to control his action. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. That's what changed. I don't care about being weak or being perceived as weak by people. That's what's changed. Yeah. Okay. Weak is he who permits his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. Yeah. Call me a bitch doesn't motivate me anymore. Okay. Anyways, each day when I awake, I will follow this plan of battle before I am captured by the forces of sadness, self-pity, and failure. Okay, now some bullet points. If I feel depressed, I will sing. If I feel sad, I will laugh. If I feel ill, I will double my labor. If I feel fear, I will plunge ahead. If I feel inferior, I will wear new garments. If I feel uncertain, I will raise my voice. If I feel poverty, I will think of wealth to come. If I feel incompetent, I will remember my past success. If I feel insignificant, I will remember my goals. Shit. I'm just adding this one line myself. So I guess if I feel cursed, I will remember to be grateful to think about, because that's what stops me from believing that I'm cursed, because I know that I have a lot of shit to be grateful for, like this fucking expensive microphone and this podcast. All right. Today I will master my emotion. Henceforth, I will know that only those with inferior ability can always be at their best. And I am not inferior. There will always be days when I must constantly struggle against forces which would tear me down. Those such as despair and sadness are simple to recognize, but the others which approach me with a smile and the hand of friendship, as they can also destroy me. Against them too, I must never relinquish control. If I become overconfident, I will recall my failures. If I overindulge, I will think of past hungers. If I feel complacency, I will remember my competition. If I enjoy moments of greatness, I will remember moments of shame. If I feel all powerful, I will try to stop the wind. If I attain great wealth, I will remember unfed mouths. If I become overly proud, I will remember moments of weakness. If I feel my skills is unmatched, I will look at the stars. Today I will master my emotions. And with this new knowledge, I will also understand and recognize the moods of he on whom I can call. I can make allowances for his anger and irritation of today, for he knows not the secret of controlling his mind. I can withstand his arrows and insults, for now I know that tomorrow he will change and be a joy to approach. All right, I used to use this shit to try to pick up girls. No longer will I judge a man on one meeting. No longer will I fail to call again tomorrow on he who meets me with hate today. This day I will not buy gold chariots for a penny, yet tomorrow, this day he will not buy gold chariots for a penny, yet tomorrow he would exchange his home for a tree. My knowledge of the secret will be my key to great wealth. Today I will be master of my emotions. Henceforth, I will recognize and identify the mystery of moods in all mankind and in me. From this moment, I am prepared to control whatever personality awakes in me each day. I will master my moods through positive action, and when I master my moods, I will control my destiny. Today I control my destiny, and my destiny is to become the greatest salesman in the world. I will become master of myself. I will become great. Aw, man, this is, yeah. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. You know what I mean? I don't know, whatever. And this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Y'all, let me go for my note. Thank you for listening. Oh, sorry. If you want to holler at me, like I always say, you can DM me on Twitter until Elon Musk runs it to the fucking ground. Twitter, it's at bblizak or Shut Up Podcast. If you've discovered this podcast, if you found this podcast on Twitter, you've likely found it through my Shut Up Podcast handle. I'm also on TikTok. Username is b.black. But keep it old-fashioned, man. If you want to holler at me, go through the website, shutuppodcast.com. I repeat, shutuppodcast.com. And the show notes. Yeah, find the show notes for episode. What episode is this? Episode 85 or 84? Oh, my God. 84, sorry. Episode 84, Children of a Lesser God. And, again, keeping it old school. If you want to holler at me, there's a contact us on the website. Or fire up your email client, your AOL, and holler at me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. To subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed that's on the website or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Yo, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you from the bottom of my cursed heart. Thank you for listening, and remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.